Welcome, Hog fans, into this week's episode of the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton with Whole Hog Sports. I'm joined by Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. How are you doing today, Scotty?
I'm a little bit more settled in than I was maybe an hour ago.
Yeah.
I had to run over to our Fayetteville office and get the camera stuff so we could do this from Dudley. And
our own Dudley Dawson.
And then I got stuck in traffic over by the Harmon parking garage.
Oh, boy.
And there was a line of cars like 30 deep. And I didn't think I was going to make it here in time. Actually, when I pulled up, I saw Nate Allen. He wasn't running, but he wasn't walking either. It was kind of that Olympic in-between,
like a speed walking kind of,
in his Birkenstocks. And I followed him into the little loading bay.
Yeah.
And walked in right behind Nate, and then right behind me, Mike Anderson walks in 4 minutes before his press conference.
He must have got stuck in the traffic, too. It's pretty bad midday with all the students.
Nobody up here knows how to drive when it's raining.
The weather was bad, too. Kind of nasty the past couple days. But tomorrow looks pretty nice. We'll be indoors for Arkansas's exhibition versus Southwest Baptist. But before we get to that, we just finished up Mike Anderson press conference. I should probably say we are inside Bud Walton Arena, and the guys are actually practicing out there right now. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering what the background noise is, it's the Razorbacks practicing.
If Mike Kaywood's listening, we're not watching practice.
No, we can't see a thing. All I see is seats. We cannot see the floor.
Mm-mm.
So we're good there. But we just finished up a Mike Anderson press conference. You had a couple notes from that?
Yeah. I think on October 1st, which was the team's media day, you know, we asked about Jordan Phillips, and that's kind of been a big topic of discussion on our boards. People are curious when we're going to get him back, and you know, there's always the when is Khalil Garland, is there any updates on him? There's not. But Jordan Phillips, I think Bob asked Mike when they might get Jordan back, and let me find this quote real quick. Bob said when do you think you might get him back? And Bob said, I think on October 1st you said that you might get him back like by the start of November or maybe the middle of the month, and Mike said that he meant December.
Mm.
And so Mike said he thinks he might get Jordan Phillips back like later this month, and he told Bob not to be putting words in his mouth.
He has a pretty good rapport with Bob.
Yeah,
they joke around a lot
during
the press conferences.
It was almost – yeah, and Daryl and Jalen even got in on it a little bit last year, which was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But Mike said that he thinks he'll get Jordan Phillips back practicing like maybe late November. October 1st, he said, hopefully we'll get him back here in the next month and a half or so, which is – a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the update with Jordan Phillips. And the other thing, last week Mike said that he thought one of the biggest things that he was looking for was like lineup combinations and seeing which guys played well with each other. And so I asked him, like, which lineup combinations or player pairings did you like? And he started his response with Gabe Osaboyan injury update. Gabe apparently fell on his tailbone pretty hard, I think, on Tuesday. And so Mike's hoping that Dave England, the longtime trainer, puts his healing hands upon his tailbone and gets him ready to play on Friday. But
it's an important bone.
Yeah. You need your tailbone.
Yeah.
But, that's pretty much the big things that came out of the press conference. It was pretty slow press conference day, I guess.
Yeah, he talked a little bit about Tusculum. Last week we previewed the Tusculum game. What I saw, once again, Isaiah Joe led all scorers with 18 points. He was 5 of 8 from 3. What I saw that really stood out to me, I was actually down shooting highlights. I was down on the baseline. Daniel Gafford was really not giving a whole lot of effort. He was getting some lazy fouls. He didn't really seem to even – it kind of seemed like he didn't want to be there.
And Mike even called those fouls he had lazy. He pretty bluntly said that today.
I think he had 3 fouls in the first half, and so he didn't play a whole lot. And, just not a whole lot of effort there. And I know it's an exhibition, but you'd kind of like to see just a little better attitude.
I thought it was a little weird, too. I say weird, maybe strange is the better word, but Daniel does go out. He plays eight first-half minutes, and you don't see Ethan Henderson or Ibby Ali at all. Like, Ibby doesn't play in the entire game, and Ethan Henderson just plays 5 second half minutes. I think he might just instead kind of ran with Gabe and Reggie Chaney for good reason. Reggie had a really good game. He had 13 and 10. I think 6 offensive rebounds out of those 10 boards. He played pretty well. But I thought it was pretty interesting to see that those two guys that actually have a lot of length. Like, you're talking like the wacky flailing inflatable arm tube man that's out in front of the car dealerships. Like, that's Ethan Henderson and Ibby. Those are the two guys, I guess, most comparable to Daniels in terms of, like, wingspan and stuff. And we didn't see him. One thing Mike said today, though, is that I think he might play Ethan Henderson a little bit more. I think, like I said, he played 5 minutes against Tusculum, the oldest school in the world, last week. but Mike said he liked what he saw from Ethan in those 5 minutes, so he might get to play a little bit more against Southwest Baptist, which is in Missouri. I know that. And, you know, I wrote a little about Ethan after the game last Friday. He kind of looked a little antsy, like, when he first got out there. I think he mistimed his jump on, like, a missed three-point shot and allowed a put back.
And he seemed
just
to be
a little nerves. And then he had an assist, I think, on Isaiah Joe's third or fourth three. So he's getting it to the shooters a little bit when he caught high and has immediately started looking for shooters, which is nice.
What I think Ethan Henderson has to do to get more playing time, he's got to be quicker to run up and down the court, because in transition, he was kind of dragging his feet, and I was sitting right next to the Arkansas bench.
Yeah,
and the coaches are saying hustle, hustle, hustle. Like, he wasn't really he wasn't being quick enough, and they're gonna, you know, that's one of the things that Daniel Gafford is so good at, is running the floor. And a guy like his size, you don't see normally see somebody run.
That's
like
the
that,
easiest so. Way to kind of ease into a game, right? Like, if you get a defensive stop or you block a shot or something, run down the floor. Jalen Harris is gonna find you.
Yeah,
especially like in the second half, Jalen was finding everybody. Like, he played. I think he played less than 10 minutes. He may have played like 10 or 12 minutes and had 7 assists, I think, 8 points and 7 assists. So he had a really good second half. You run the floor, Jalen's going to find you. Or if not, Desi's going to find you. Desi had a few assists the other night too. And Jalen and Desi played pretty well together, I thought, the other night. But, that's the easiest way to get involved in a game. Like, if you're – I don't know, maybe not. You're not blocking shots like you think you can be. Like, just get out and run the floor and impact the game in another way.
Yeah, and one of the other things I noticed, like I said, I was sitting right next to the Arkansas bench. I have never heard the coaches and assistant coaches be so vocal for the Razorbacks. Last year, you'd hear Mike shouting out commands and stuff like that. Against Tusculum, it was like every coach on the bench was communicating with players that were on the floor. Mm-hmm. And that stood out to me. So I don't know if that's just a change in approach, like, and maybe it has to do with you have so many freshmen on the floor.
Yeah, for sure.
They need all that extra coaching. But, that even within the first 5 minutes, I was just thinking, wow, I've never heard the coaches this vocal during the game.
That's a good observation. You can't get anywhere but from Blake, because he's on the baseline.
Exclusive. And you mentioned Jalen Harris. When I was going back through my highlights and putting together a reel, when I went to go watch it, almost half of my highlights were Jalen Harris.
He was everywhere.
He just kept showing up. He kept popping up in all these highlights. He had a great game.
No, Mike, I mean, to cut you off, but Jalen in the first half picked up a couple of really quick fouls, and Mike said that Mike said today that Jalen's got to be a little bit more patient defensively. Like, he's trying to make things happen so much that he's maybe a step ahead of where he should be. Maybe got a little handsy, I think, with one of the fouls that I think was kind of in our corner closest to where we were sitting. But he really settled in. I like his game a lot. And
finished with 13 points.
Yeah.
4 or 5 from the floor.
Through the red-white game, and especially through the first exhibition game, I think it's crazy, but I think he's been Arkansas's second-best perimeter shooter, which I don't know if you would have expected to say that at this point. And I mean,
we all thought it was going to be Mason Jones, and he didn't.
Yeah.
He hasn't really looked very good.
Yeah, I asked Mike after the Tusculum game the other night, it was like, how much do you need Mason to get going? And I think that's a really big key, because you got to have somebody to compliment Isaiah.
Yeah,
and Isaiah's shooting, just he's shooting the lights out. And Mason, I think, is 2 for 11 from 3. Like, if you combine the red white game and the exhibition game, he's 2 of 11 from 3, which isn't great at all. And, you know, most of his buckets, I think most of the points he has scored came in the red-white game when he was just kind of, I mean, there wasn't any defense to be had in that, and pretty meaningless scores, I think. But he's got to get going. I think if he starts knocking shots down, maybe tomorrow night, and starts getting into a rhythm, I think he could be a threat going into Texas, because you need another threat outside of Isaiah's. They're really, I think Texas, obviously, like, if they're paying attention at all, they know that Isaiah's their top perimeter shooter, and they're gonna key in on him. So you need a compliment, a number two.
Right. Another freshman that had a much better game against Tusculum than in the red-white game was Reggie Chaney. I was a little underwhelmed in the red-white game with Chaney's play, but yeah, he really seemed to turn it on in the Tusculum game. Finished with a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds. Just looked really good.
Yeah, I think those 10 rebounds, like I said earlier, I think 6 were on the offensive glass.
Yeah,
it's huge. So he's kind of throwing around the kids that are like me trying to block him out, like box him out. He's not going to let that happen, but he looked pretty good. And I also really liked him and Desi at the top of the press. You know, I think in years past, you've seen guys like Cody Clark and maybe last year, the name is escaping me, but Mike really puts a lot of trust in guys, to the guys that guard the inbound pass after makes, when you're picking up full court. He puts a lot of trust in those guys to not get lost and use their instincts to kind of create turnovers and stuff. And him and Desi were pretty phenomenal at that the other night. And I know it's to school them or whoever, but they still forced like a string of turnovers. Like every time I was looking up, the ball was going out of bounds, or Desi had it in his hands, or Reggie was knocking a ball away. So I really liked their activity on the press, and you know, we'll see if that's a combination that Mike runs with again.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it reminded me when you were talking about who he chooses to guard the inbounds pass. Mm-hmm. It was Reggie Chaney a lot of the time, and like I was saying earlier, I was down on the baseline. He was guarding one inbound pass, and I remembered it because he made a noise, and I was trying to figure out what the noise was. Reggie Chaney when he's guarding this guy, and I think it was like a grizzly bear is what it sounded like, and it was a little terrifying just for me, you know, sitting down there with a camera. I don't know, I can't imagine what it would be like for those little guys trying to inbound the ball when you got a guy growling at you in your face. It was pretty intimidating. And Mike even mentioned that, I think he mentioned Chaney by name, that it was, you don't really see him come alive in the game. Like he might not be a very good practice player. He might not even show you a whole lot in practice, but when it's game time, the switch just flips.
Mike did say that after the exhibition game, that Reggie hadn't been practicing real well.
Right.
And so sometimes, like you said, when the lights come on, those guys kind of turn it on. That he kind of reminds me, I don't know, he's obviously bigger than a Darius Hall. He's a little bit thicker than an Orlando Cook, and those were two guys, for example, that were taking the responsibility of covering the inbounds pass maybe a little bit last year, and Adriel Bailey probably will get some of that too. Trey Thompson, I don't know if Trey was back there doing it, but a guy like Reggie or Gabe with some length and some size that can move their feet pretty well, those are going to be guys that are taking responsibility for the top of the press. And Reggie looked really good doing it. That's a spot that he could, I mean, just outside of his ability to score and rebound and stuff, like that's another area that I think he's a big plus.
Yeah, and after a slow start, Arkansas ended up beating the Tusculum Pioneers 96-47. Tomorrow they will face the Bearcats of Southwest Baptist, Friday night, 7:00, Bud Walton Arena. I did a little research on Southwest Baptist.
Nice.
Again,
what's our fun fact for the week?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were one of the first universities in the country to have a varsity esports team. And for our listeners who are not familiar with esports, it's basically competitive professional video game playing. And they offer scholarships.
No kidding.
For esports. I couldn't find which games that they specialize in, but since it's a Baptist university, I'm thinking like probably Super Smash Brothers or Overwatch or something like that. But yeah, they were one of the first 15 colleges in the country to have a varsity esports team with scholarships.
Good for them.
Available.
And that was way back in 2016. Hang your hat on something.
And, you know, I don't know who I need to talk to. Hunter Yurecek, I guess. But it's like, when are we going to have a professional, you know, not professional, but collegiate video game team?
You know,
I want to see that.
There's bound to be guys in Yoakum or what's the one that's right next to it? I'm so old. I feel so old. I can't remember the Humphreys, the Hump.
Yeah,
There's bound to be dudes in there that are video game savants that, I mean, I roomed next door to some, you know what I mean? Like, they're not hard to find. We can get this going.
And imagine the kind of talent that you could recruit if you're offering scholarships.
For sure.
And stuff.
Big time.
But they are located in Bolivar, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Got to get that right.
Home of Rafe Peavy, BT Dubs.
Former Razorback Rafe Peavy. Mm-hmm. And haven't heard that name in a while. They're the Bearcats. They're Division II. Obviously, a Baptist affiliation. Also, private school. Arkansas played a private school last week in Tusculum. But you kind of expect the same outcome against Southwest Baptist.
Do we know how many blocks Daniel ended up with last week? I think I set the over-under like 3.5.
I don't think he got to 3.5. I think I'd have to look it up. I think he only had two.
Schedule.
I said he would have 13 or 14 blocks. He didn't. But you know, I think if he wouldn't have gotten in so much foul trouble, he could have gotten a lot closer to that. But he hardly played. And
he had two blocks.
Two blocks, yeah.
Yeah, so. Two blocks in 18 minutes.
So not his finest hour, but you know, maybe against Southwest Baptist he can show a little. I think we get it. It's an exhibition game, but I think for the fans that are actually coming to this game, it's like that's who they're coming to see is Daniel Gafford. And if he's not giving 100%, that's you know, it's kind of disappointing for the fans that make
the
trip.
Doing and stuff.
But I think he's just really, as most fans are, he's really ready for that Texas game next Friday, which we'll have tons of coverage on that.
And I'm going to it.
Yeah, out in El
Paso. So I got my hotel room reserved yesterday. So I'll be staying Thursday night, Friday night. And depending on what time the LSU game starts, that could be a wild 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, because my flight back on Saturday morning leaves El Paso at 5:45.
Oh boy!
In the morning.
That's local
and
time.
So yeah.
Whew.
So if
it's early.
So if Arkansas gets the LSU game at 11, your boy's not going to be running on much energy. I'm going to be half asleep. I'm going to be very much asleep. Sleepwalking at that point.
Well, I would recommend buying some sugar-free Red Bull before you go because. Or at least at the store, at the airport, it's going to be outrageous. Yeah, you don't want to be buying sugar-free Red Bull at the airport. So, you know, plan ahead of time. Well, that'll be a fun trip out to the West Texas town of El Paso next week. What's the name of the base that's going to be?
Fort Bliss.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, so we've been doing this basketball podcast in Mid-America on Thursdays. Next week, we'll do it on Tuesday since Scotty's going to be traveling for the Texas game.
I think that's the only time the team's going to – or like Mike – maybe a couple players will be available next week too. Is I think they're heading down on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna. I think they might do some community service work or just kind of check the base out and that kind of thing for a couple days. They're kind of. I think Matt put it like this. They're kind of treating it like a bowl game. Like they're going a few days early to kind of get the lay of the land and whatnot and just kind of check things out. So it's a unique deal for me to cover.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the same deal for them. Like they're only. Odds are they're not going to ever do this again. So,
right.
I mean, it's a cool deal for them, too.
But before that, Arkansas does play the Southwest Baptist Bearcats Friday night at Bud Walton Arena here in Fayetteville. Mike said he wanted a continuation of the second half from last week's Tusculum game because in the first half, you know, they had a really slow start. But in the second half, they scored 66 points. So, obviously, that's the team that you want to see.
66 points and a half, good.
Is that good? Yeah. That's the obviously what you want to see.
I mean,
if
you score 30 and you look.
They look pretty pedestrian.
You look like butt in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, like you get down 8-0.
Right.
And, I mean, after you fall down 8-0, you still get outscored 24-22. Or no.
Yeah.
I was not a math major. Forgive me for that. But, like, regardless, you get down 8-0. Like.
Right.
You still, I think nerves probably played a little bit of it. But after the half, like, I think Jalen Harris was a big part of them putting up as many points as they did. Like he contributed seven assists in the second half. Like I said earlier, didn't have a turnover, scored. I think he hit a couple of threes of his own too. So Mm-hmm. That second half was pretty impressive.
Well, we will have full coverage tomorrow. I'm going to be doing highlights again. Unfortunately, it's going to be one of the last opportunities I have to do highlights, because once the season starts and the games are televised, I won't be allowed to do that because, you know,
you're taking all of their clicks from them.
Yeah. Right. So we'll have post-game reaction from players and Coach Mike Anderson. We'll have highlights. Scotty is going to be doing live updates, so be sure to follow Whole Hog Sports on Twitter if you haven't already. Hey, download our app. That's another place you can listen to this podcast. Most mm-hmm. people listen on SoundCloud and iTunes, but you can also listen on our app. Just search for Whole Hog Sports in your app store. And you can always find the largest collection of sports reporters in the state of Arkansas at wholehogsports.com. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We are with Whole Hog Sports. Thanks for listening.